Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
Zach Jackson, A to Z podcast on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Zach, is Baker Mayfield the biggest investment in team history?
Ooh, that's an interesting question.
Indeed.
I get on and I hear Anthony being wrong right away. It's not easy to move on. He's got to be good. He's got to be right. Just look, this was a pretty robust year for available options, right? But did you really want to be in the Phillip Rivers pool, the Andy Dalton pool, the waiting for Cam Newton to take a physical pool, the signing Jameis Winston to a one-year deal? You know, you don't want to be there. Right. So, Miles is signed and he's sitting on a big year, and Nick Chubb is, probably going to force them to give him big, big, big money. But no matter how you, and it's Odell's career is at stake, but no matter how you slice it, the most important Cleveland Brown this year is Baker Mayfield.
Wrong. I mean, I saw Kansas City move on from a pretty good quarterback. I saw the Baltimore Ravens move on from a Super Bowl winning quarterback. I saw the 49ers swap a quarterback out and go to the Super Bowl. Seems like teams do it more often now than they ever have.
I mean, I get what you're saying there, Anthony, but you when you have to go down that road, you're buried into the corner. You know what I mean? Like we've seen it. Well. Everybody only gets one chance here because they clean out the whole organization every 18 months, right? But when you are a head coach or a GM these days, and this is where what you said is right, you know, you basically get to hire one quarterback, whether you do that at the first pick, the 10th pick, the 29th pick, or in free agency. And the good ones, they hold on to them. So, you know, a year from now, is Aaron Rodgers going to be available? Is Cam Newton going to be available? You know, is Drew Brees going to retire? Is Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence as good as we all think that they want to be?
Matt Stafford could be available.
Those are open questions right now. But the best thing for the Cleveland Browns to have any chance, first to end this playoff drought, and then secondly to have a prayer to compete with the Pat Mahomeses of the world, is for Baker to be the right guy.
Well, at the risk of just continuing to go in circles here, Anthony, I think that might be where Zach has you there. You just mentioned Matt Stafford might be available. They've held on to Matt Stafford for a long time, and you and I have both gotten calls over the weekends from people in Detroit who are more than willing to move on from Matt Stafford.
Yeah, I mean, it's a different kind there, right? They're 7-9-ish every year, so they're ready to move on. You know, the Browns are 6-10, 4-12-ish every year. They're ready to take that leap. And I think maybe they will take that leap. And if Baker plays well, then there's obviously a much greater chance that they will. But, you know, I've written this, talked about this, and it'll continue to be the theme as we go here. Like, you could really argue, right, numbers 4 through 12, who are the most important Cleveland Browns for this year, for September through December of this year. But you really can't argue who number 1 is.
Zach Jackson joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Why were you in – now you guys can team up on me. Why were you and Lima taking shots on me on the internet yesterday? I woke up this morning. I didn't even see that till this morning. You hurt my feelings.
I mean, this is what you love, going out to training camp and just spreading the propaganda and just falling
that
in
is
love
not true.
With these third-string receivers.
No.
Yes, this is what you
no,
live for.
No, that's what, that's what I lived for. That was a long time ago. I've turned a new leaf. Ask Lima. I'm a very nasty person now.
Well, you're a good person.
Oh.
That's never really been in question, especially when you're in this kind of company with me and Lima. You're a standout person.
Thank you.
The bar is low. So it's time for the Browns for the bar to be a little higher. You know, that's kind of my theme. I think the offense has major, major potential. I think the defense has major questions, probably meet in the middle on all those things. And if you stay healthy and, you know, as we've learned from the Indians, tying into last year's Browns, mature teams are going to win, are going to handle things. Then if, you know, a few things go your way, you got a chance. I mean, the division's loaded, the AFC is loaded, but I do think this team is better equipped to handle, you know, some things. And I do think there's a chance that they score enough points to eventually win more than they lose. But a lot of things have to go their way.
Zach, it seems like a lot of the, especially fantasy and stat type people around the league, they seem very high on the Browns offense because of the talent, because of the new coach, and they think Baker is just going to be different this year. What reasons do we have to seriously believe he's going to be different and that last year was more about Freddie Kitchens than it was about Baker Mayfield?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it starts with the footwork and the coaching and just, you know, what you mentioned last year was a disaster, and I'm not sure anyone could have succeeded in that. I think, you know, from a football dig down deep standpoint, you look at what Kirk Cousins did. You know, Dalvin Cook drove that offense, but Kirk Cousins still put up career numbers in rating and in yards, in big plays, deep routes by Diggs and Thielen, a couple guys who compare, you know, positively and fairly, I think, to Landry and Beckham, and they rolled. I think on a life standpoint, as someone pointed out to me last week, like, Baker's that age where he's grown up on the internet and he's extremely online. We know that, right? So if what he's been dragged through or put himself in doesn't humble him, nothing will. So, you know, he comes back focused and ready and plays well, then they get on track. And, I mean, you look at Kareem Hunt being your backup running back and you know, the things you can potentially do with Austin Hooper and those two receivers. I mean, it's set. So the Lions got to not get him killed. And a lot of things have to come together here, a lot of things working against a team that's going through constant change. But I also, like I said, I would not be surprised if eventually this offense, you know, is a top-10 offense.
I don't know if you heard the list that Ken put out there about top five, you know, Cleveland Browns that have pressure on them this year. And, you know, we're going into this talking about these guys. Offensive line, rookie offensive linemen who have never played the position that they're going to play this year. And, oh, by the way, this is a very weird offseason. Where do you put Wills on that list?
I'd put him very high, honestly. You know, you knew coming into the year kind of what your immediate needs were. And then in free agency, they went out and spent huge immediately on the tackle, the right tackle, the tight end, and the backup quarterback. So that left tackle. And they can say all they want about that Wills was our choice. You know, I mostly believe that. I think getting him at 10 the way the draft shook out was a win for the Browns. But you're right, he has never played left tackle a snap in his life. He is 21 years old. He's getting no preseason and a quarter of a regular offseason to play in Baltimore on September 13th. So to block Carlos Dunlap in week two. So we'll see. And the other guys, you know, they have to gel. We think Wyatt Teller is going to be the right guard. I'm not sure that's 100% settled. I will be shocked if he's not first in line. You know, Conklin's never played with these guys. So the coaches have never coached together, from the offensive line coach to the coordinator to the head coach. So just a lot that has to come together. And I think from a talent standpoint, they're great. I think Treader and Betonio are long established. They're athletic. They've been through this kind of change before. You know, if you pay Conklin $20 million this year, you're expecting him to be not just good, but really good. Mm. And I think that's a fair expectation. It's just, it all has to come together. And I think the left tackle, rookie left tackle, is a glaring question mark, concern point, however you want to frame it.
Zach Jackson with us on the hotline. We saw two huge contracts doled out to tight ends yesterday, Travis Kelce and George Kittle. Can we be realistic about where Austin Hooper is? Is he anywhere near their trajectory, or what should Browns fans truly be expecting from him?
I think you could say he's nowhere near those guys in terms of what he can do in the open field, but you could also say, you know, he could catch a lot of passes for the Browns. I mean, they got zero out of the tight end position last year, and there were multiple reasons for that. But this offense that uses the tight end in so many different ways, and what Hooper can do, big body, fairly athletic, you know, really knows how to get open. You know, a lot of third downs he can move the chains, a lot of play actions he's going to have opportunities against linebackers that can't run with him and against safeties that he just dwarfs. So, you know, I think he'll catch 60 balls. You know, to go a little deeper than that, I think it's about third down and about having that one tight end who you move around and create those matchups for. You know, I think most of the time there's going to be two or even only one wide receiver on the field in this offense, with the exception of, you know, the third and sevens. I think Hooper is going to be a guy that gets keyed on that's Baker's first or second read in a lot of passing plays. So all that has to come together, but I think he can, you know, he can be a really productive player in this offense. I'm not kicking on him at all. I'm just saying he's not Travis Kelce, because very few guys are, right? Like, can you use him similarly? Sure. Once you get settled in, and he has been a proven producer in an offense where he arguably, sometimes the number three option. So it's a completely different offense here, but I think he can give you that return on investment, and he can take you from a total question mark or a total minus at that position to a plus.
You said something about Nick Chubb there at the beginning. Do you know something we don't about Nick Chubb getting a bunch of money from this football team?
Well, the rules are, after his third year, you can sign him. Mm-hmm. And the trends are that after the third year, they say pay me or I'm not showing up. Now, they've changed the rules with how the holdouts and the fines and all that stuff works. But if you're going to pay a running back, you don't wait, because you figure he only has so many hits, he only has so many miles in him. So, yeah, I mean, this would be the year. If Nick Chubb has another Nick Chubb year and he is the perfect prospect, no baggage, has not been hurt since that injury that was now 4 or 5 years ago in college, which is the only reason you got him in the second round, by the way, then you got to pay him. And on this trajectory, you have to look more at Ezekiel Elliott and Christian McCaffrey's numbers, which were upwards of 50 guaranteed.
What is the tendency that Baker may have that Alex Van Pelt wants to most fix in the 2020 season?
You know, that's a good question. I'm not sure I'm completely qualified to answer that. I would say when Baker misses, he misses high. And I think they also think the footwork sometimes caused him to lean and not trust what he was seeing in some of those interceptions. So, you know, right, we hire these coaches every single year, so we hear this talk every single year, right?
Yeah.
So we know that they give certain canned answers. Is what I'm trying to say is they give certain canned answers, and then they give you only a little bit of insight. Well, the very first thing Alex talked about was the footwork, right? And then it was canned answer. We believe in Baker. I can't wait to get to work with him. The footwork. That's what kept coming up. So, and you know, that's not only him seeing that, but Alex has worked in the AFC North the last several years, right? So Alex worked with Aaron Rodgers, who got to sit and then play and then was dealing with huge expectations once he established himself. So, that's the thing that I go on, and I think that will be the first thing that we look for. And you know, we're not allowed to report what we hear out at camp, but I'll be listening closely to those conversations when we get that opportunity.
You did mention the AFC North, and I'm just curious what you think right now, which may be unfair considering what a weird offseason this is, but what you would think about the other three teams in this division.
Well, I think the Steelers' defense is probably the best in the league. It's certainly the top three. You know, what happens with Ben, who knows? A lot of drama there, but a lot of production too. The Ravens, I mean, can they be that good? I don't know. They're an offense like no other. And, you know, not seeing them in the preseason, who knows what you're going to get. But Lamar is pretty special, and they've done a great job of building guys around him. And we know for years that the talent has not really been the Bengals' trouble. I think the last couple years the defensive talent kind of tanked. A rookie quarterback, you would think, especially in week two, is really going to be fighting an uphill battle. But, I mean, I love that kid for the long term. So, you know, I think right now everybody would say the Browns are behind those top two. there is some evidence from last September that they can play with those guys, and we'll see. But I think the Browns are clearly behind the top two based on history, based on just, you know, stacking the teams, the rosters on paper, on the computer screen right now, and they'll get a chance, you know, specifically in October when I think they have back-to-back road games at Pittsburgh, at Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
They'll get a chance then to kind of, you know, find out what team, kind of team they are, where they measure, and then, you know, that second half of the year is where we'll see, because I think everybody is going to be, you know, there's going to be strange results early, and I think a team like the Browns is certainly going to be at some sort of disadvantage. I'm not writing anything off, but you'd be silly to not to think that the Browns are going to be 100% ready to click in week one or even week four, given all the change.
I asked your question, or excuse me, I asked about what's the worst positive draft or camp cliche that the media puts out there. I asked that on Twitter. 100% Akronite says he's gained 10 pounds of muscle with his new pescatarian diet. The real Mike Morris says, quote, there seems to be a new energy, a new focus this year. Vin, new getting a much tougher training camp. These are great. These
you
are
know
great.
What's funny? I don't know that I tweeted this, but I can tell you that one of my camp observations last year was, man, these offensive coaches are out there coaching their ass off. Like, they are paying attention to detail. Like, they are really getting after these guys. Like, I promise you. And I hope I didn't put that on record. I hope that was just in my notebook or in my decaying brain.
Got to get that Hunkara guy to find it, because if it's out there, he'll find it. Zach, thank you very much for the time, buddy. Enjoy the day.
Thanks, guys.
The great Zach Jackson, A to Z podcast. Find him on Twitter at Akron Jackson. I'm going to ask the worst cliches when we come back. It's Ken Carmen with Anthony Lima live on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.